I think I need my typewriter serviced.
We can do that.
Really? Because I think my escapement just escaped.
Yes, we can do that.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure my carriage just ran away, and it did not even have horses.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, because I'm marginally sure it's dead. Can you resurrect it?
Yep, pretty sure.
You know what? Maybe I just need a totally different machine.
Well, we can definitely do that.
Okay, can you get me one in pink? Oh, maybe avocado green. Classic black is nice. Do you have anything that can fit in my purse?
This is Southern California. We can fit anything in a purse.
I don't even know where to buy all the stuff that goes with it.
Accessories? Yeah, we can do that.
This is fantastic. Could you address my party invitations?
We've got rentals.
Enough rentals for me and all my friends?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I have so many ideas now. You're like the typewriter muse.
Yeah, that's what we are. Find us online, typewritermuse.com. On Instagram and Facebook, at typewritermuse. And check out our YouTube channel at, you guessed it, typewritermuse.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Can you change my name to Bob?
No, we can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Austin Typewriter Inc. podcast. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to listen to our little gab fest. We're just a group of folks who enjoy the heck out of typewriters and welcome you to our table. Sit back and enjoy the show, and away we go.
And David is correct. Your host from the West Coast, one Mr. Bob Marshall. Today, we're very excited to have a fellow clacker on who, as we all say, we might have a bit of a typewriter addiction, and these things are okay. This guy might have taken it a step farther, taken his whole family with him, and just gone and opened his own typewriter shop. So, without further ado, Mr. Tony, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, it seems that some of us have gone far, and you've gone even farther. Let's hear about a little new place that's up somewhere around Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, dead center Portland, Oregon. Some might say I've gone a little too far, but my partners have to glad to have our basement back. Yeah, I've opened a small shop. I say small, it's about 800 square feet, called The Type Space. Here in Portland, Oregon, and been open about a week.
A whole week. Well, it had to start somewhere. I think it'd be great, maybe do a little bit of chronological order. Why the heck are you even using typewriters, my friend?
Oh, well, that's that would be my girlfriend's fault in a good way. Her father is on the board of the Marshfield Sun out here in Coos Bay, Oregon. It was a daily paper print shop, and he had a small selection of typewriters on the top floor. And when I first met him, he was excited to show me the museum, and then I saw the typewriters, and it just clicked. His display was mainly focusing on the different approaches of the type slugs, whether it be under strikes, forward strikes, down strikes, etc.
Sure.
And that really got me into it. And then about a week later, I found a Royal 10 in my neighborhood going for relatively inexpensive, and that was the beginning of the end. I'm not sure which one.
That's great. How long ago was this?
This was pushing 6 years ago.
Okay. So there you are, excited about the machines, mm-hmm. and then something about a basement.
Yes, yes. I started slowly collecting and tearing apart and rebuilding, getting my hands in there. And once we moved in together, that collection found its way to basically an empty basement in the house, and I went ahead and converted that into a quasi-museum. Nice displays, title cards, things like that, along with other collections I keep on as well, coins, Star Trek, NASA ephemera, etc. But then it started to get deeper and deeper. Well, you know, I need the first year model of this one, and I need that color. And it just went a little over the top.
I don't think there's any such thing as over the top. You are in a typewriter safe space, sir. It is okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So you keep going with it. What happened to, how do you open a typewriter shop in today's economy in the center of Portland, Oregon?
It was a surprise to me too. I actually was just visiting a friend at a local shop, and I collect silver as well. So the market was down on silver that day, so I was going to just go around the corner from her shop and get a couple hundred ounces, whatever. And she said, "Oh, no, that shop's been closed for a year." I said, "Oh, really? Okay." And, you know, this is, a year and 3 months into COVID, edging towards the end of it all here in Portland. We just walked over there. I took a look in the window, and lo and behold, the landlord was running his business right next door, and got to meet him. And I knew a lot of people were on it because, you know, the reductions in the lease because of COVID and things. And so I asked him to give me 4 hours to kick it around, see if it was something I wanted to do. And it just felt right. Came home, talked to my partner, Julia, ran with it. Within a week, I had my EIN, my business license, the company name, before I even signed the lease. Kind of that excited about it. And, you know, it's rewind just a little bit, about 4 years, and I was leading my normal life. I was running a cooking school. Doing typewriters on the side at night.
Very cool.
And I had a distracted driver take me out on my motorcycle at 7 a.m. and really put me down for about 2.5 years, lots of surgeries, and just couldn't see myself going back to the same line of work I'd been doing for 35 years. And after the last surgery and rehabilitation, and I'm ready to get back to life, and then COVID hits. So had a year and a half onto that, I'm down for 4 years, and I'm not one to sit idle. And it really just, it just all fell together with having no intentions of opening a shop, but the pieces were all there, and I was going stir crazy and needed to do something. It was either going to be traveling or open a new business. And traveling was still stunted, so I went the business route.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's very appropriate. Do you still get to ride a motorcycle today? As most people know, I ride a motorcycle everywhere. And I've noticed in the typing community, a lot of people do, or a lot of typewriter mechanics used to be motorcycle mechanics. Do you still get to ride today?
If I made the conscious choice to do it, I would. I haven't since the accident. 52 years old now. I've had umpteen accidents, as we all have, but this one really kind of hit home in how I saw those around me deal with my near fatal accident and injuries for extended periods of time. And for now, I just don't want to put him in that position again, even though it might be someone else's fault.
Sure. Good for you.
So I'm always two wheels down in my head, but I'm not riding quite at the moment.
And I think that's more than okay. Everyone always gets to make that choice. I've been very fortunate that I've never taken a hard spill. I've slipped in oil at 10 miles an hour and That's about it. So I've been very fortunate, but I give you full kudos for finding something, a passion like wrenching on typewriters to replace all the writing you got to do. Did you get to do a lot of writing as well?
Writing? Yeah. I mean, I approach it from a couple different angles when I do write. I hadn't a lot in the past 10 or 15 years just because the work, you know, the jobs and keeping you busy and not really allowing myself an outlet through that. So, but once downtime hit, yeah, I started kind of poking around and working at some old pieces that I'm hoping to get further with, but I need a shadow writer. I'm no good at dialogue. So when I'm trying to write a play or trying to write a nonfiction or fiction, rather, I find myself running into brick walls with dialogue. So now it's more just experimental prose, stream of consciousness kind of writing.
That's really neat. Tell us about your process of writing with a typewriter. That'd be fun to hear.
Well, it I'm not the one to jump immediately on it, because frankly I can't type that fast. So sure. I'm a good two finger typer at about 30, 35 words a minute. But the kind of process I go through with just and I don't even know if it fits a term they use in the writing industry, but I call it stream of consciousness writing.
Yeah, and, it's a good term.
For me to hand scribe that is much more effective, and then just to go back and get it on the typewriter, I can be a little more methodical, a little less white out or correction tape, and that's a safe paper.
Right, that's great. Oh, I love that. I must admit, what'd you name the shop?
Named it Type Space.
Type Space. It's been very exciting to see it all unfold in the pictures on Instagram. I'm a huge fan of it. Looks like your dad was in there helping you set up the space. Tell me about the space and how you set it up and how you got it all together.
It was pretty much 3/4 inch plywood floors and a couple of track lights up top, and I actually got my brother, an older brother from South Carolina, to come out here. He's a contractor by profession, and we hadn't seen each other in decades, actually hung out for extended periods of time. So it was an opportunity to get him out here, and he just went right to work from signing the lease date to my open date. It was 60 days.
Wow.
And we were in there 12, 15 hours a day, couple weeks, 7 days straight, trying to get it knocked out. And the whole time, of course, I have all the typewriters here at home, but I have no display cabinets. I have no counters. So everything along the way, while we're trying to assemble and build out and, put in lighting and paints and rehashing old store cabinets, I also had to be out there collecting all these things for the displays and how it was going to lay out. And so it was kind of a double duty. I would have much rather been swinging a hammer and putting some trim on the baseboards. But I do that for half a day, then I'd be running around and trying to procure fixtures and furniture for the shop.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's pretty hard. And I'll tell the listeners, I think it's really great. Your shop reminds me a lot of my writing space, my living room, dining room. It's very homely. I think there's a large table kind of in the center or off to a side where people can try machines. Yeah, and then you've got like desks around. It feels very cozy to me as opposed to large, bright, white, et cetera.
Yeah, I wanted to, that's why I called it Type Space. I wanted to make it a space that people could come into and just feel at home. You know, I kind of poo-pooed a few people that say, oh, it's a wonderful boutique. I'm not appreciative of the term. as much as I should be, I guess. Sure. You know, and I know why they're saying that, because, you know, the other two main shops here in Portland on the other side of the river, been established for decades, and they are, I want to say, about 85-90% service and repair first. Right. And there are amazing things on the walls, typewriters and ads and ephemera, and but there are only probably about 10 or 15 typewriters available. The other ones are personal collections of the owners. And I wanted to make a showroom. We're still doing service and repairs, but I want to make a kind of a, not museum, but I wanted to make a showroom that people could step through and actually just experience the growth and the dynamic improvements on the type writer since the beginning, and you know, they can touch it all. I'm not going to say no. Well, that's my bar lock. You can't touch that. No, they could touch it all, and I did. I wanted it to be a community space. That's why the large table in the middle. So not only can you try typewriters on there, bring a couple of friends down, have some brainstorming process with your writing, or do a poetry slam, you know, come on in and just have fun in the space.
Are you serving coffee? Because that would be my heavenly space.
I am. Nice. I don't want to make it too public, but sure. That's going to be hard with your show. But it's you know, I'll also offer you know, seltzers and maybe a beer or a glass of wine while you're shopping. It's kind of like going to a wedding dress shop, how they always give you champagne when you come in and start shopping.
I had no idea. I've never shopped for a wedding dress myself.
You're missing out.
Sounds like I need something I need to do. Absolutely. Right? Or I could just come to the type space and enjoy shopping for typewriters.
Most definitely.
That's great. I noticed on the front of your window, or the picture you took of the front of your window, you've got 6 or 8 different themes listed on the front. I found it quite unique, the themes you had listed. Do you remember all the themes you have listed on your front window?
Oh, I know there's vintage typewriters, and we have antique spools, so the original metal spools that would have been with your typewriter when you bought it, because a lot of times those get lost and thrown away, and there are plenty of good plastic replacements, but you want to get it back to the original. I've got a good deal of original metal spools that we can match to your specific machine.
Yeah, good for you. I think usually when you see typewriter repair shop, for example, it'll say, you know, maybe it says restoration or resurrection. It says, obviously, repair. Maybe it says rebuild. It'll always say ribbon, you know, which is funny. It never says paper. I mean, you might want specific typewriter paper. And these are all things that I've really gotten to learn the last few years. I give you a lot of credit for really broadening with your front shingle, if you will. And it says like 8 or 10 different things that you do and that you have available for the customer. When you did open, it looked like you had maybe a soft opening and then an actual hard opening. Can you tell me about those events and how they treated you?
Yeah, it was on, I want to say the 23rd of June, International Typewriter Day. I could have opened to the public that day, but I had been away from my family and friends for 2 solid months, and I just wanted to gather them in a soft celebration about the store. Let them come in, and we can make an evening of it, and people can take time and just enjoy and meet the other individuals in my life that I've gathered through this experience. You know, I even had a letter typed out to Tom Hanks, of course, inviting him down to the soft opening.
Or up, as it may be. If he's usually here in Southern California, he'd have to go up to Portland. But yes.
True.
Understood.
It's geographically correct, sir. But, you know, it was only 2 months before I opened when I got that out to him. And I didn't expect, you know, I don't know what his schedule is or where in the world he might even be, but tried to lure him in, saying, you know, it was going to be a soft opening and no big publicity hit with advertising or anything. So didn't have to worry about paparazzi and could just come in and be at home here in Portland. So that didn't turn out, but we hopefully I would love to meet the man and have him grace my shop at some point.
Yeah, it sounds like he's really influenced your want, desire, way of typewriter. And I agree. I think he's influenced the entire community in the ways we get to a system in fostering people and reminding them that there are typewriters available. Sounds like you're a good fan, though.
I am. I mean, all the way back to Bosom Buddies. That was my first introduction to Mr. Hanks. And yeah, it's just followed through through the years. And, you know, you can't help but respect the man and his consistency and professionalism and, you know, the caliber of his work.
Agreed. Lucky us that he likes typewriters.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect you have a few typewriters for sale in your shop. How many do you have for sale these days? And you got any good makes and models or anything that you like to sell or wrench on? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're starting to get some good requests for repairs in the shop, service and repairs.
Good.
So it's fun to see what other people are collecting and leaning towards. One thing that was really interesting is the foreign language typewriters.
Okay.
Those are the ones that it's got to be about, so far in a week, about 50-50 on sales out the door. Foreign language from Polish to Ukrainian and Spanish have gone out the door already. And I had one woman saying, now I can write back home to my parents. You know, I can type them a letter in their language they read. And she was so excited about that.
Wow. I had no clue. Being here in Southern California, I'm always searching for Spanish machines myself for similar reason. But mm-hmm. I had no clue it'd be so popular for you. Well, that's great. What's the average number of machines you have for sale?
Right now on display on the front, I want to say about 70, 75.
Someone can walk in your shop and play with 75 different machines.
Most definitely. A few of them are just on the collector side and, you know, not fully functional, you know, a never wrapped platen. With the original corking from the Woodstock Manufacturing Company.
Sure.
Or we're looking at, you know, the Merit from 1886 that we'll never be able to find a type bar for.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, you know, I'm hoping to attract more than just the typer and just the collector and the shelf talker, which those are by far the largest community. But, you know, I started thinking about what about set designers for film and stage designers? You're seeing a lot of typewriters even in cinema right now. And the challenge for them is capturing the correct date of the typewriter to that scene they're needing to shoot.
Right.
Within there, and stage productions. And, you know, we have a great film college and community here that I thought, you know, it might be another avenue for me to walk down with this.
Well, I agree. And I know the last show that I recorded for Austin Typewriters Inc. here that I put out was really big on that. It's okay to get out to the writing communities and remind them that typewriters are a choice. They're a choice of a writing tool. You can use a pen, you can use a pencil, you can use a typewriter. I guess you can use a computer like everyone else, but yeah. Is that really what you want to do? And I think I just did that big presentation at an art museum a few days ago. And so I got to give this really long hour talk, and surprisingly, everyone sat there and enjoyed it. But that was a huge point. When you're at work staring at a computer screen for 8 or 9 hours a day, do you really want to come home and stare at another computer screen to create? So I'm a big proponent. Typewriters are definitely a choice. And it sounds like you've got a great space for people to find the perfect typewriter that matches up with them and their writing and what they want to do.
That's the biggest question people have coming in that haven't really experienced typewriters, even modern ones. They say, how do I pick one? You know, and so it's back to the basics. Where do you see you using it? Is this going to be a desktop model that's not going anywhere? Are you going to be on the go? Are you going to be at the coffee shop? Are you going to be on a plane? What, dragging that around? So let's identify that from at least a desktop to a portable.
Right, right.
Then what are you doing with this? Are you writing just amazing thoughts and small letters to friends? Because, you know, some of the ones from the teens and the 20s are amazing for that. Some of the font selections that you can get on there and just the feel and the style of it. But you're not going to write 14 chapter novel on this thing without really stressing your fingers and potentially stressing the machine.
Sure. Well, good for you. I'm glad that there's a place people can go. And I think that's always hard versus typewriter repair shop. How do you make it work? I know for myself right now, when a customer contacts me and says, well, I want a machine and I think I want this and I think I want that, I'll set up 6 or 8 machines around my dining room table and say, okay, try all these out. Let me know what you think. Mm-hmm. And then they'll end up pointing to someone in the corner that I never thought about. They'll try it out. They'll go, yeah, okay, I'll take this one. Okay. And I still haven't learned the exact science of when someone says, well, I want to use it for this, and I think I want that, and I think I like this make and model, whatever it may be. Mm. So I think it's great if people have 75 machines to choose from.
Yeah, and, you know, when you go to a shoe store, they'll grab the box for you, but you're the one that's got to put it on and walk with it and feel the arch and feel how that sole is going to feel and the support. It's the same thing with typewriter. You know, it's not just the way it looks on the paper, it's how it strikes against flat and how much pressure on your fingertips you need to put on there. I mean, I like a firmer strike.
Sure.
I'm really a strike it like it's hot kind of typer. Really hard strike down and quick release. So it's finding your personal style, that because hopefully you're gonna write long. A lot and for a long time on these machines. And so you want it right out of the gate. And so I tell people, you know, if you're committing to a machine, I'm going to give you 30 days. Kick it around the block. If it just doesn't feel right, just bring it back. We'll set you into another one.
That's quite a guarantee and warranty. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Have you had, I mean, I know you've only been open a week or so, but have you had many return in said regard or someone who have brought a machine back?
I've had one gentleman bring one back. It was opening day, and bless his heart, I wasn't thinking. Gentleman came in and said, oh, this is amazing. I love it. Which one's your favorite typewriter? So I pointed him to the one on the shelf that is my favorite personal typewriter that I really wasn't intending to sell. It was going to have a not for sale sign on it. And I immediately said, okay, I'll take it.
That's great. And, that's great.
Well, I fully understood at this point for the first time in my life what separation anxiety means.
Okay.
This was my baby. This was one of the first ones that I had completely taken down and realigned and got it just working beautifully. A two-tone green Remington number 2. And as soon as he said that, my heart sank. I was like, oh, I should have picked another one. I shouldn't have gave him my personal favorite. So, you know, Julia, my partner, she said, you're not a collector anymore. You're a retailer now. Which one do you want to be? said, well, I want to be a retailer. She's like, just let it go. It's like kids going off to college. It might come back one day. It might not.
Amen.
But you got to let it go.
Well, amen. I agree with you. I'm going to share a funny story that I think I already shared on here, but I'm very fortunate to have befriended Bill at Mesa Typewriter Exchange. And he'll say the same thing. Well, I'm not a collector, but let me show you what I got here. And let me show you this typewriter. And check this out. Check out the, these aren't for sale, of course. Well, wait a minute, Bill. I don't think that's how it works. But it's, and here I am typing on the most beautiful, exciting machine I could ever think of. And they're just not for sale. I totally get it. You got to cross that point. Personally, I've got a rack of typewriters in the corner of the living room next to my writing desk. Those are not for sale, but everything in the dining room and my display area, that's what I have for sale as it may be. So I agree. There's got to be that good separation. So you got the machine back and you were able to set them up with something else that.
Actually, he enjoyed the machine. It was just a matter of fine adjustments, getting it responding, because I didn't have a lot of time to service my 140 machines before. Sure. I went in. So functioning, but some of them have been sitting on a shelf for 3 or 4 years,
right,
which I'll blow them off about every month, but things get a little gummy. So yeah, he just had a sticky key or two and, just got in there and just cleaned it out for him and, gave him a new, or a coupon for a free ribbon wrap next time he comes in for the inconvenience on that part.
So someone can quite easily bring you a typewriter and have you throw a ribbon on it, have you check it all out, test it all out. You provide the full service. Why they wait even if you got time, huh?
Oh, immediately. Yeah. When they get in, even if they know what's giving them trouble with it, what might need a repair and adjustment, I'm always going to do, I haven't even counted it. I call it my 10 point once over.
Sure.
You know, touch every lever, every key, every adjustment, make sure everything's working. And then from that point, if they say, oh, I just want it cleaned up, that's great, we can do that. But just to let you know, you're going to have issues with your margins because of X, Y, Z.
Sure.
So yeah, definitely giving them the information. You know, last thing I want to do is say, okay, I'll just clean it. Oh, but by the way, I fixed this, this, and this. So here's a little bit more on your bill. I want to be transparent, and if it's an easy fix, if they're just a spring's disconnected or they don't have a cap on this nut, that's something I'm just going to do on the fly and say, there you go, it's all fixed. We'll see you soon.
Right.
And I'm not going to charge for that. That's now if it's, you know, if we're talking about rust and missing pieces, that's a whole nother story.
Well, I agree. And every customer that I've had come in and I've done a ribbon on or something, then I go, well, your margin release or your tab isn't quite right. And this, you know, I'm going to need to open this and maybe bend a lever or what. They go, yeah, I don't even use that stuff.
Right. Well,
that's true. Today, people may not, you know, really need to set. They just, the margins are set for the paper. They don't need to worry about tabs. I mean, who tabs over anymore? We're just simply leaving blank lines these days, whatever it may be. So it's okay if some things do not work on their typewriter. And these were all the extras that they added to the machines throughout the years to make them that much more appealing to the general public. And it turns out these days we really don't use most of that stuff. So,
you know, the Remington Standard 7 has the whole tabulation add-on, and you know, I've got push button keys at the front of the typewriter that go directly in to establish any of 10 or 11 tabs on the unit. But yeah, I've tested it once, made sure it works, but I've never utilized that function. I'm not keeping Excel sheets, you know, on my typewriter.
Sure. Sure. And that's always a fun and modern technology. And I always get to remind people, I know plenty of writers who use typewriters and then move it to digital and use Scrivener, right? I mean, this is okay. These are all tools that are available to us as writers. that people can use. Let me hear about your hours, days open, location. Tell me about tell me about the neighborhood that you're in, your location. How is it?
Oh, it's amazing. It's a really, really up and coming. We've got some great local shops in the area. It is kind of a concentrated area of shops on what's called Division Street, Southeast Division here in Portland. And it's three great blocks between 37th and 50th. We've got vintage bicycle shop, antique shop, tattoo shop. We've got Scoreboard, which is more on the sports bar kind of thing. Then sure. We have Landmark across the street, which is kind of like it's all outdoor seating and live bluegrass, free live bluegrass, and they've got a barbecue cart out there to get some great pork butt sandwiches. And then there's another great little cafe, opens too early for me to really get in there, Petite Provence. And then Beads at Dusty Creek is a great jewelry and small independently owned bead shop, crafting. The shop next to me is a cacao import and distribution small office. And then we have, it was called Amberlight, now it's Vibe, dispensary right next door to the typewriter shop.
Okay, so how close is the nearest Powell's Books? This is a big burning question.
Right. Powell's Books is probably a mile and a half down on the 39th and Hawthorne.
Okay.
It's not the main Powell over right. on the east side, or on the west side.
Right.
But yeah, it's another a secondary Powell's that we have. More intimate, not four floors of, just...
awesomeness?
Yeah.
total awesomness. I was there about 2 years ago. And I got to spend a lot of time in the original Powell's there. I was on my motorcycle and I dropped my typewriter on the Burnside Bridge there crossing in. And I had to, they were doing all that construction at the time. And so I had to completely go over the bridge, dragging my typewriter. And then you get to the other side and there's a shelter to the right. So there's about 50 mm-hmm. people out front telling me I'm dragging a bag behind my motorcycle. And I'm going, yeah, no, I know. There's just nowhere to pull over. And then when I finally do pull over and look at the mess that's made, I realize, thank God my laptop saved my typewriter. So my typewriter was okay because my laptop hit the pavement first. So.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it turned out to be quite the great story. Lucky for me, somehow the bungee cord hung on to it. And I don't know exactly if a bungee cord failed. I don't remember how it fell off, but there was a lot of traffic. So luckily I could do 25 and just drag it for that mile and a half across the
right.
Burnside
no
Bridge.
No one ran up on it either.
No, thank God. Yeah, but thank God for laptops. They saved typewriters. I really enjoy Portland. I'm going to be heading up there probably 2 months, so I'm going to make sure to stop by and bug you.
Please do.
Yeah, what are your normal hours of operation?
We are open now from Thursday through Monday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, and what's your exact address?
Exact address is 2409 Southeast 49th Avenue, and that is... Portland, Oregon, 97206.
Right. And we can find you on the gram, or are you on Facebook, or what's
your favorite? I'm on all of it. You can go to, and this is a tricky web address because people always say, where's the .com? But it's www.thetype.space.
All right.
The website there, type.space on Instagram. And the type space on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think mostly on Instagram, you and I interact, maybe throw bad jokes back and forth about machines and whatnot. I really enjoy that.
Yeah. Such a great community over there. I thought that Facebook was the way to go because they have so many typewriter groups. But I go over to Instagram and it is just an amazing community of like-minded people. Again, whether they're writers, collectors, whatever's bringing them to typewriters, I'm just amazed that, you know, you put in that hashtag typewriters and, oh, there were 11 million posts on that subject.
I completely agree with you. And I am, you know, one of the admins for Austin Typewriters, Inc., the same people that do this podcast on Facebook. But I definitely enjoy the community on Instagram. I completely agree with that statement.
Right. And now, you know, Instagram makes it easy because I'd always want to double down on Facebook and create a post there. But create a post on Instagram and just slide that little toggle and it's going over to Facebook as well. So it really helps save a little time and getting some cross-platform marketing going as well.
Yeah, yeah, good for you. Are you selling machines on your .space on your website or Etsy or eBay or?
I really should have thought that a lot more before I launched the site because I just wanted the site to be a billboard. Hey, sure. This is who we are. This is some of the machines we have. Come on in and check it out. But I have one young woman who's visiting friends in North Carolina and she lives in the Philippines and wants to get a few typewriters shipped to her from Oregon, to take back to the Philippines with her.
And
so I never thought about e-commerce. I just wanted to be a local shop, but I'm getting so many requests from so many states across the country. I just last night went in on my day off, as we all do,
sure,
to compile images and pricing so I can start responding to some of these requests with the actual tag and the info and the serial number and the price of the item. So that'll fold. I think maybe once I'm open a month and we get some of our classes and group meetups for the community table set, create a calendar. We'll be doing calligraphy and basic typewriter maintenance and, you know, paper folding for envelopes and just a whole cross-platform. So I want to get my local community set real quick in the next 2 or 3 weeks on that community events. And then I'm going to really dive deep into the e-commerce side of getting things out to people that need them. Because it's not just typewriters. People need feet and single parts that we just happen to have. And they can't source in their local area. So I want to be a support for them and getting it back to where they want their typewriters. But I ask for their patience and, you know, initially.
Sure. One last question for the masses and the rest of us. Tell me about your database. How do you keep track of all your machines?
That has been a struggle.
Okay. I'm not the only one. That makes me feel good. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's not like opening a shop where, oh, I can order, you know, A5 paper, I need 2 reams of it, and reorders. These are all one-offs from every, you know, ribbon tin to small little typing award that I have in there. And so creating the database, I just, you know, we came up with just a physical system of typing it in, number assignments for whether it's ephemera or a desk or a typewriter or, you know, what hundreds of other types of things I have in there. And then breaking it down from there, good descriptors. I'm, you know, I've of course made the mistake of being a sole proprietor. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to be there every day and mostly out in the showroom. So I do have another service tech, Mark Naylor,
cool,
who's on board. And he's coming in once a week to help with a lot of the service and repairs that we're doing to give me more time to be up front there.
So the database is really part of your inventory of everything that you have. You get to inventory the machines, inventory every 10 that you have, every...
Yeah, yeah. Itemization is real tough, and it's just back to hands-on. I mean, when I make the sale, it's a lot easier to to get the inventory items in there, whether it be through Venmo or, you know, my Chase platform for payments. But even after I do that, I'm still handwriting every sale in a book for me to be able to cross it over into the database and be able to remove an item and add a new one.
Right.
It's time for me to get an accountant.
Yeah, that's great. You've been open a week. It's time to get an accountant. These are good things to hear, sir.
It's time. But, you know, there's still probably a third of my inventory that I haven't even gone through. Either I've taken them in as a store credit or people selling me machines, or I've found them items along the way that I just haven't had a chance to get an inventory. So people, you know, when they come in, they're like, oh, this is great, how many do you have? I was like, well, come in back and take a look at the other ones if you'd like.
Sure.
Because my showroom's not big enough for the entire collection to be out at once, so I'm rotating that. And there is I'm not going to say the name of the company, but there's a company trying to get me to be a user for their antique dealer's inventory software.
Okay.
And the only ones I've seen when I was initially looking for something to be able to manage that has been mostly for antique shops that have vendors. And then, so the vendors track their own sales, their own items, but, you know, the main house takes all the sales. So that's what those platforms are set up for, which really wouldn't work for what we deal with, which is constantly rotating one-off inventory.
Right.
So hopefully I'll report back to you in a couple weeks once he gets that out to me. And I get to evaluate a little and see if it's going to work for something like this, because if it is, I'm going to scream it to the world and let everyone know that has been battling with this since the beginning of typewriters.
Sure.
That there is a solution. There's finally an answer for us.
Well, the answer used to always be typewriters, but yes, these days we're very fortunate to have the e-world to assist us with typewriters. Lucky us.
I agree. There is now, you know, I've seen that. Have you ever seen this trigger setup? It's a DIY. I think you used to be able to buy packages of it, but the guy went out of business. But there's DIYs where you can trigger your type bars and USB it out.
Yes.
To your computer.
Yeah. And
I'm slightly challenged with it. I mean, I was raised on computers as well. My father being with Xerox and the like.
Okay.
In the 70s, but the last time I wrote a lengthy piece on the typewriter, and then having to go back in before OCR and scanning. To go back in and rewrite it, because I've already edited it on the page and all I'm doing is just typing it in. Part of me thought, well, wouldn't that just streamline it if I could actually write it on my typewriter,
right?
And it's going to be entered into digital form.
Yeah, and I think it was just kind of like an Andrino kit. The guy was selling them on eBay. I remember seeing them a year or two ago. They're not around anymore, huh?
No, it was really short-lived, but the instructions on all the material and how to make it is out there. But, you know, because I volunteer and work with NASA and JPL and a local spaceflight team here in Portland creating spacesuits. We were just on Discovery Channel, a new show called Homemade Astronauts. We were one of three teams across the country. They filmed for a few years. It's a great show if you haven't seen it. But so I am so tech forward as an educator in science and space with JPL that I want to find a happy crossover. But the analog in me just keeps slapping me upside the back of the head saying, no, what are you doing? These need to be kept separate.
That's great. And it goes back to that argument. Just because something's been created doesn't mean you have to use it. And just because it looks better, it may not be better for you. And we'll always get to find the happy medium as this free-thinking American human race.
Right. And then those things we think are advances are actually, I mean, look at the Geo Metro. You know, we thought 3-liter engines are the, will save so much gas, but you have to push it up a hill.
That's right.
Get up there. So, yeah, sometimes the advances don't outweigh the effectiveness and usability. I had a typewriter company that is still producing today. Contact me about being an authorized representative and dealer for their company. I don't know if I should say the company online, but there's so few making typewriters now, you might be able to.
I think we got it figured out. Yes.
Pick it out. And I had to respectfully refuse to be attached to them currently. Because of course they wanted me to have a few of their current machines in shop.
Sure.
And I can't bend my minimum requirements for what I think is a quality typewriter to accept what they're producing now. And
sure.
I wish, I mean, now we have all the technology in the world. You know, you see what they're doing with injection molding with cars and things like that. And why hasn't someone completely dived back into making the 2020 typewriter that's going to last till 2000, whatever, 99, 2000? 2100, because the ones now are just, they're just kind of like the Olivetti Valentines. They're kind of just a one or two off machine. They usually break pretty quick because they were thought to be used just for travel.
Yeah, and this is a great argument. I'm fortunate enough to work next door to some IT guys, government IT guys and gals. And so we're always having this argument. I'm really sold that in the next 10 years, a company is going to produce a computer that can last 50 years, just like they did with the typewriter. The computer's only really been efficient in business for the average small and large business, you know, 30 plus years, right? And if you think back to where typewriters were, where they were in business 30 plus years, so maybe the typewriter was 50 years old, it hadn't come very far. So at what point are they going to make a computer that'll last 50 years, just like they made typewriters that would last 50 years? Right. Some of the IT people think I'm crazy and they're never going to make a computer that'll last 50 years. and others agree. Yes, in the future, there will be a computer that'll last 50 years, just like they did with typewriters. So it really was that perfect point where the competition was so fierce, the product really had to be that good.
Yeah. And I think if they do make a computer that can last 50 years, the advertising that's going to be preloaded on that system that you can't get rid of because there's no other way for them to make money once they sell one off, you're gone for half a century.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's got to pay out on the back end somehow. So, the workhorses, the desktop models, the Underwood 5s, the Royal 10s.
Yeah.
These ones, you just can't break them unless you drop them, you know? And because they knew it was going to be a daily grunt worker. It was going to be in the office. It was going to be doing work 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I think once we got slimmer, faster, sleeker, lighter, we weren't in that same, we had already started crossing over into the electrics and into the, you know, the IBMs and things like that, to where they carried over a lot of the body style and the durability of like the 5TEs, which is one of my few electrics that I really am drawn to. But it's, you take off the top and the motor, and it's pretty darn similar in girth and durability as the non-electric 5T models. And at a point, they just pushed it away. I think the more Montgomery Wards got into it, and J.C. Penney's, and that was, you know, a lot of it moved overseas into to factories with less quality.
Right.
So I'm happy to be immersed in the ones that I have, and now I'm in the last week I've grown enough to say goodbye to many of them.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you, on behalf of the typewriter community, I absolutely congratulate you on setting up your own type space in little old Portland, Oregon there. I think you're going to do very exciting things in the near and far future, and it's going to definitely turn into a destination place. I'm very much looking forward to come up and visit you myself, and I can't imagine how many other people will get to hang out at Powell's and, oh yeah, get to hang out at the Type Space. Well done, Tony.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely find some time to catch up. And until next time, some guy from the West Coast, Bob Marshall.
Thank you for listening to the Austin Typewriter Inc. podcast. For more information about our group, please find us online at austintypewriterinc.com, or you can also visit us on Facebook and Instagram. Join us next time for another episode of Austin Typewriter Inc. May your type slugs always be clean.